I mentioned praise note. Many have been praying for my dad, who'd been battling COVID and was really in some bad way, but he's doing better. And matter of fact, I think he's technically been cleared. So thank you for that. And then, I don't know if you saw online that little baby I mentioned Sunday, little baby Will was the name of the little baby. That the little guy, he went home to be with the Lord yesterday, I think. Appreciate your prayers. This needs to be taller. Okay, there we go. Say, man, I feel like I got shorter. There we go. Sorry, now all the camera guys are going, sit still. If you're online, thank you for tuning in tonight for our Life Messiah Bible study. I have entitled tonight's Bible study. Hopefully it doesn't get me kicked off Facebook again, although, you know, I'm on MeWe, so that's the one we need to get out of the one and into another. You know, that's the only thing they're going to understand. So look me up on MeWe, and I've been using it. No, it doesn't work quite as well. Yes, it's a little more clunky, but it's free speech, and to me, that's more valuable. That's my little mini sermon there. So look me up on MeWe, and let's get a community going on there. All right, but tonight's Bible study, our Life Messiah, we're studying the life of Christ. From, you know, beginning to end, and we're right now in the introduction of the king, and from a Jewish perspective, thank you to Dr. Frutenbaum and Ariel Ministries, which this is based upon, this study. But we're looking at Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, and his ministry of announcing the birth of the forerunner of the Messiah, John Baptist, and his dad, Zacharias, and mom, Elizabeth. And then a couple weeks ago, Gabriel then goes and talks to Mary, and tells Mary that she is going to give birth to the Messiah, and the angel Gabriel fills her in that her older cousin is expecting too. I remember Elizabeth was probably in her 60s or so. So tonight's title is Prenatal Ministry. I thought to myself, I have never written anything with a title like that before. So there it is, Prenatal Ministry. That's why I put a thing on Facebook. Hopefully soon it'll be only on MeWe. I need some moms here tonight, and I'm glad I have a bunch of moms in the room tonight. That's exciting because I really need your insight on this. So all the dads, just, you know, chime in at your own risk. It'll be good. So that's where we are. We're in Luke chapter number 1 is where all this is happening. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, and tonight we're beginning in verse number 39. After Mary has just gotten done saying, you know, whatever the Lord wants in my life, I'm good, in verse 38. And the angel Gabriel just told her that her cousin Elizabeth is also expecting. And so we pick up the story in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. The Bible says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah." And so Mary heads to Elizabeth with haste. Now, I found it interesting that the Bible makes it clear that she went there right away, really quickly. And then for me, that always asks the question, why? Now, I don't know if I can be totally dogmatic tonight, but I was curious. So this was not one of my famous trick questions. This is honest. why do you think Mary, once Gabriel tells her that, you know, her cousin is expecting, and understand that Mary is in Nazareth, and we know that Elizabeth is in Judea, outside of Jerusalem. And in those days, that Dr. Frutenbaum says that's a 2 to 3 day walk. Okay? I mean, it's not like she just got up and walked 2 blocks down to go see her cousin. This is a couple day walk. But she, with haste, she goes. Why do you think she went there so quickly? Anybody? Any thoughts on that? Yeah, Danny? Yeah, well, this is not a mom question, so you can answer this one. Dads are allowed in this one, all right? Why does that motivate Mary to go there fast? Maybe I don't think I'm understanding you. Pardon me? He doesn't know. Sorry. I'm pulling a ring. Because she was eager to see it's true. I wrote it in my notes that, you know, if I said tonight, if I had to put a banner on Facebook and said, hey, come to church tonight. We have, I don't want to pick a name here. Who wants to, who, all right. Martha's willing to, you know, I'm trying to look at her mom who's already raised kids and maybe has grandchildren that'd be willing to be used as an illustration. But I said, hey, Sister Martha is pregnant, and we're going to pray over her new baby coming. Many of you tonight that know Martha, probably on your dinner when you were gossiping, would have been saying, Martha's having a baby? We got to go to church tonight, you know. we got to see this, you know. So I imagine all the husbands are going, oh yeah, that'd have been a whole new experience for them. So one of the things I wrote down is maybe she went right away because she wanted to see, you know, can 60-something-year-old lady that's 6 months along pregnant. So yeah, Martha. All right, I think. That's excellent. That's another one I had thought, and I think about this, so that's good. And, you know, what we know about Mary, what a heart she had for service, and she was so humble. When she found out her 60-something-year-old cousin was pregnant, maybe she needed 6 months along, Mary goes, man, I better get over there and help her. I think that could have been, yeah, Lorraine? Yeah. Now, as we'll see, it's pretty early, but I agree with you. Nothing like being around somebody else who's going through at least something similar. Obviously, we still understand there is a distinction between Mary and Elizabeth, but they're both miraculous, and I agree with you. I think she probably said, you know, I think right now would be a really good time to hang around old cousin Elizabeth. That's a good one. Anybody else? You know, because I thought, you know, probably Elizabeth, from what we know, I think she was a very godly woman. I think she was a godly woman, and probably Mary knew, I need to be around somebody who's older and wiser as I'm about to deal with something beyond my years. And even though Mary is a very special person, maybe that's why she's so special, she realized she needed help. So I think all these things probably factor into it, and probably Mary started thinking about that one probably popped up and that one popped up. But then the other day she said, when it's all said and done, I want to see a 60-something-year-old person with 6 months pregnant, right? You know. And I imagine it would have also been, even though I believe, because Mary was a person of faith, that she believed right away. So she probably, like Martha said, I think acted in belief. But there's still something about when God says, hey, here's this miracle that's happening, and you have the wherewithal to put eyes on miracle. Pretty cool. You know, and so she takes on, you know, as affirming what she's about to go through. So I think that's interesting. All right, let's go on to verse number 40. The Bible says, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So notice it says that she comes into the house of Zacharias, because, of course, Jewish perspective, you know, of course, the man has to have his name on the house. We won't get too sidetracked on that. But notice, you know, she comes in, and the Bible tells us that she comes into his house, but it doesn't say she stops and salutes old Zacharias. In other words, that she come to say hi. In other words, she comes in the door and old Zacharias is standing there or sitting there or whatever else, and she blows right by him and goes right to Elizabeth. You know, I thought that was kind of funny, you know. Old Zacharias, remember, he's still under the punishment from not believing. Remember, he can't talk. Remember when I got in trouble for having that video on him, you know, because he's D-U-M-B. I don't know if F-A-C-E-B-O-O-K can S-P-E-L-L. So if they have that algorithm now figured out, we're about to get banned again. This is a great title. People are going to watch this one. But I thought that was funny. You know, he can't even say anything if he wanted to. And so she blows right by him and goes right to her cousin Elizabeth. That must have been funny for, you know, Zachariah sitting there and Mary comes blowing in the door and he's going, what? Verse 41, story gets more interesting. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So as soon as Elizabeth hears Mary, John Baptist, little John Baptist, in the womb, leaps in her womb. Now, this is my first question for moms here tonight. Do you moms remember, and I know I have some moms that are expecting here tonight, here in person, and I have some that are recently had babies, and I have some in here that had babies a long time ago. So we have from We've got it mentioned. Anybody here want to announce they're expecting tonight? Here, we can make that available. Anybody else is expecting a baby? Danny, don't raise your hand over there. I see. Okay. I know Sean is expecting as well. Anybody want to announce for the first time? I'm just looking over here. Okay. All right. We don't. At any rate, do you remember, all you moms, the first time that your baby moved? You're my generation, so you still remember. Good. I mean, what do you remember about? Anything you would say? All right. She got butterflies. Okay. Interesting. Anybody else? But yes. Elda, I know you want to say something. No? No? Okay. All right. Sorry. I looked reading your eyes. Anybody else? Come on, moms. What was that? You remember the first time the baby moved? Jenny, do you remember? All right. Knowing Allison, she probably punched you in the gut. soccer punching, yeah. Here's second question. Because when we read this verse, we find out that when Elizabeth hears Mary coming in, so therefore by extension John Baptist hears, and then he moves. Did any of your babies' moms? Did you notice that your babies in the womb would move with certain sounds or voices? Yes? Uh-oh. Pa-pa-pa-pa. Okay, so she... They need something like classical music then, because that's what you need for babies. They're supposed to be really intelligent and it puts them to sleep. But anybody else? Did anybody else know? Yeah. She'd move. Her daughter's first in the womb, 4th of July, right near when she was born. Fascinating. Anybody else? No, anybody else? I mean, I don't know. I was trying to remember, Jen. Did the kids move when I talked? Or did they go to sleep like everybody else does? Really? Oh, my wife just said that when she was singing a special, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Every time she said the name of the Lord, Allison was she kicking you? What was she doing? She would just push. So, yeah, DT says he's trying to tell me to get me out of the house. Yeah, well, probably so. She's still trying to do that. Anybody else? Any of your moms that, you know, can you haven't felt any, Kelly, any movement? I know you're right there on the edge, I think. Any day now, we got one that's expecting that. So fill us in, right? When, you know, let us know. Yeah, Alda? She did. All right, so we got one Beth. Are you talking about Beth? Okay, when their daughter Beth would, when her dad would come in, she would move. Yes. Yeah, well, girls have babies. I'm sorry, Caleb. You set yourself up for that one. Oh, all the babies are girls. Okay. See, you got to come here Wednesday night. It's fun. It's fun. Yes, this is all. Did anybody have any boy babies? Do we have any boy babies? You're on that. I agree with you, Caleb. Not, all right, yeah. We all react when we hear Shania Twain. I'm sorry. Oh man. Yeah, Gage would kill you for that one. Any other moms of boys that the boys did anything? I mean, I don't know, to Caleb. I think the reason that they don't is because the boys behave themselves. The boys are the good ones. There's no, none of the moms have any memories because the boys are like, hey, I'm chilling here. Just keep me fed and keep the Netflix going and my Game Boy Live going or whatever, and I'm good. And it never changes. That's how that goes. So, but it's interesting to me, though, that the Bible here tells us about Elizabeth and John Baptist in the womb, that when he hears her Mary's voice, that the babe leaps And that's a really strong Greek word there. It doesn't just mean, you know, moved a little. I mean, I used to love it as a dad, and I don't know how many of the dads here. One of the great privileges, and I remember, it was kind of, because we dads do actually feel things a little. But I remember when I would hold my hand on Jenny's tummy, and either the kids would move their leg across or their arm across the outside, and you could feel that little heel of that foot going across there. I was like, oh man, this is the coolest thing. But then I would think, boy, I'm glad I'm a man. It is exciting. It really is. Even for us men, us dads, it is. But I thought it was interesting. The Bible goes out of its way to say that John Baptist leaped. Now, remember, we know she's at least 6 months, probably pushing 7 months along. So old John Baptist is coming. He's doing good. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? I don't know. You know, the different guys, different views on it. You know, I don't want to get too dogmatic here. But I think the Bible makes a point here that this was not an ordinary movement. I believe that Elizabeth recognized that he moved in a different kind of way. And then I thought to myself, I wonder what it would be. Now, I had no idea, but I wonder how it must have felt for her, or as you moms who've given birth, if somehow we could replicate that movement, you know, in your baby, and God would say, I'm going to let, you know, your little baby's going to do the leap, the John Baptist leap, you know. I don't know what she said. If she went, whoa, I don't know what she said, because it says she got filled with the Spirit, so I don't know if she started speaking in tongues or what happened, but, you know, maybe the two were connected, because I think this was a very specific movement. Now, remember that Gabriel had told Elizabeth that John Baptist was going to be full of the Spirit from conception. Now, we talked about that. How can a baby be full of the Spirit in the womb? You have to check out the lesson on that if you want to discuss that. But ultimately, then, I think you can... Is it fair to make the statement that leap that John Baptist took was a Spirit-led leap? I think it's safe to say that. As a demonstration to Elizabeth, I think it's safe to say that God thinks babies in the womb are real people. Amen to that. They are real people. It's amazing I have to make this statement, but and I'm not making it for those who are outside of the Christian faith, by the way, or at least in pseudo-Christianity. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people who would call themselves, and maybe they are Christians, that's between them and God, but that somehow have believed this idea that it's just a bunch of cells in there, you know? No, we find John Baptist in the womb is making very specific movements. And then Elizabeth herself is filled with the Spirit. And I thought to myself, here she goes through this baby leaping in her womb, which I can only imagine. And I don't know how much room there is in there, but, you know, jumping from one side to the other, that must have been quite an experience. And about the time she's over that, then the Holy Spirit fills her. Remember that she's still Old Testament time. So the Holy Spirit's coming upon her. And imagine that probably had a whole different sensation as well. So old Elizabeth has had quite a moment going on here, where she's got Mary coming in the front door, hearing her, excited to hear her. And then John Baptist leaps across her womb, and then the Holy Spirit fills her. Boom, boom, boom. Quite an afternoon for old Elizabeth here, isn't it? And by the way, as I wrote this, I kept thinking to myself, you know, you got these two wonderful godly women enjoying this amazing experience, and there's the priest. There's the most biblically knowledgeable of the people in the room, old Zacharias, and he's sitting over in their corner saying nothing, because he can't. Now, I don't know if he was jumping up and down or going over there and laying up, you know, I don't know what he was doing. But he wasn't enjoying this whole thing like Elizabeth and Mary were. And then with that, now we find what Elizabeth says upon Mary's entering the room. And these are some very famous verses, especially for those out of Catholicism, particularly. So I want to deal with them a little bit here this evening. Notice in verse 42, the Bible goes on and says, she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as I heard the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so she responds and pronounces this blessing. And Dr. Fruitenbaum points out that there are six things that Elizabeth says in her address to Mary. First, she says, "Blessed art thou among women." And how is Mary blessed among women? Okay, and that makes her distinctive. Why? I'm messing with you a little bit, Debbie, just a little, you know, because there can only be one mother of Jesus, and she's it. Now, I know it doesn't sound like all that much, but when you put it from a macro perspective and recognize that God, well, you tell me, when did God initially make the promise to a woman that the Messiah was going to come through her? Remember where that first happened? In Genesis. The very after Adam and Eve are confronted over their sin, and God pronounces a blessing and a prophecy that, you know, what the big verse theologically we call proto-evangelicalism, you know, the very first emphasis of the first presentation of the gospel in Genesis 3:15. And from there on, from basically there from the garden until Mary is on the scene there, do you know how many women were on this planet? Probably a lot. Even if you narrow it down to the house of Abraham, probably a lot. And yet of all those women, she gets to be the one that God chooses to use to fulfill the prophecy of Genesis and the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, and she would give birth to the Messiah. And I also thought it was interesting in that verse that I think Elizabeth is a great lady, how much humility she shows. Elizabeth was the older woman, and from a Jewish perspective, that meant something. Unfortunately, today we've lost a lot of that, and in the church, one of the disadvantages, I'm not being Andy Stanley on big churches. I love big churches, and they have a purpose, and God bless them. But one of the advantages of being on a smaller church, 200 people or less or something like that, is you tend to have multi-generational relationships. Big churches, because of the nature of the way the church grows, I'm not critical of this, it's just the way things tend to go, you tend to get a group of here where the young families and where the college students and where the, you know, where the career people and where the ones that are the empty nesters and where the diamonds, you know, where this and, you know, and it's not wrong to target some ministry on that, but isn't it a blessing to have multi-generational relationships? And they ought to be part, in my opinion, of the local church because younger women need the experience of older women. And older women need the energy, enthusiasm, and vision of the younger women. There's a mutual need. And it's not just women, by the way. Men should have those same multi-generational relationships. But what I found interesting is that here Elizabeth is, the older woman, and she's the wife of a priest. She lives in the up part of the country, you know, with a prestigious title and her husband after his name. And she's 6 months pregnant along. But when she comes in, she doesn't talk about her baby. She's always elevating Mary and Mary's baby. Now, all you moms know what I'm talking. You're already nodding your heads. You know, because one of the great things, I can't speak to this, but I think one of the privileges of expecting a baby is, at least with normal, healthy people who have some kind of morality, there's something awesome about an expecting mom. It's why it never gets old to me at church and why I'm so thankful that consistently we've had moms that have given birth to babies, and I love it when the nursery, when Anna, our nursery director, says, we need more of this and we need more of that because we got too many babies in there. That's not bad news to me. That's good news. You know, whatever you need, Anna, you know, we'll get it. You know, it's just an awesome thing. And yet it is a time where sometimes you get two moms that are both expecting in the same room. And sometimes, let's just be honest, it can be I'm this and I'm that. And I'm not going to be the one that say women could be competitive in that. I'm not going to go that far. men, we don't because we don't care. but I just found that interesting, and I think it speaks well of her, on her humility, that here's this young mom. And by the way, notice it goes on secondly and says, she says, "Blessed be the fruit of thy womb." Now, we read that, but I want you to see it in its context. You've watched Mary, in your mind, come in this door and all this, you know, the baby jumps and all these things. And then Elizabeth starts speaking. All Mary has said is, hey, cousin Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth all of a sudden starts blessing her and says, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, how long at this point has Mary been expecting a baby? Well, if you read the story, and she left with haste after Gabriel left, just a few days. Now, I know EPT is a pretty good pregnancy test. It was accurate every time, you know, and in our family. But nothing compared here. The Holy Spirit test is pretty good. Now, that being said, and I don't know if Marie Elwell is watching online tonight. If Marie, if you are, you can verify this, and I can name some other names. But maybe it's a Holy Spirit gift. Maybe it's a pastoral gift. But I think at least two of Jason and Marie's children, we told Marie she was pregnant before she did. You know, where I said, I can tell, because Marie, if you know Marie Elwell, she has a glow, doesn't she? Marie, some of y'all met her at the ladies' conference, right? Marie came down there with you. She's just a wonderful person. And I remember she was standing right here, and I came to church one day, and I was just looking at her, and I'm going, hey, you guys are expecting, aren't you? She's looking at me going, how do you know that? It's, you know. And obviously she was much farther along than that. I'm not claiming that. But I just found it interesting. Can you imagine Mary's reaction when Elizabeth says, blessed is the fruit of thy womb? Mary's going, what a minute. How do you know that? Isn't that amazing? You know, that's a great thing. Third, she goes on and continues to go on and says, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? Not only does she know that she's pregnant, but she knows who's in there. I imagine Mary, if she wasn't blown away already, that Elizabeth knows that I'm expecting after just a few days. But now Elizabeth also knows that the person that's in there, my Lord, is in there. The God-man is in there. The Messiah is in there. I imagine how, on one hand, Mary must have been blown away. And on the other hand, how confirming of her faith that must have been. For somebody to validate exactly what God said is going on, because I don't know, a few days into pregnancy, I don't know. I mean, anytime Jenny would act overtired or anytime she'd get a little too cranky, I'd say, are you expecting? Are you pregnant? She'd come and say, I want to take a nap. To this day, it's a running gag. I guess I shouldn't share this. Is that too personal, hon? To this day, if Jenny comes to me and says, hey, I think I want to take a nap, I'll say, are you expecting? And now, at this point, I get a really strange look, but still, I still ask. And then, okay, we're not going to go down that rabbit trail anymore. All right, we're leaving that one alone. All right, she knew it was. You know, now some people take this phrase, and I need to stop here. Some denominations to say, you know, whence is the mother of my Lord? Is it right to say that Mary was the mother of God? But I got yeses. And I got some no's. Okay, well, you know, some denominations that I won't leave, well, I shouldn't leave nameless, but teach and use this verse to say that Mary was the mother of divinity. Now, you got to be careful how you say that, because there's an element of truth to that, and there's an element not of truth of that. Let me ask you, was God the Son around long before Mary? By an eternity. Mary did not create God. But she did birth the humanity of God. Now, if you want me to explain that completely, you probably need to have Pastor Danny do I need to have our smarter pastor do that session. Because a little beyond, you start thinking about that, I don't know, but what I do know is that the Bible's very clear that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, that he's always been. And you read Genesis chapter 1, and God's very clear that the Trinity's presented right there in Genesis chapter 1. And as one of our Bible teachers here, Brother Brock, and he and I have discussed many times, and we are taught in seminary that progressive revelation, which I do believe in to an extent, but I think maybe we've swallowed a little too hard when it comes to the divinity of God and the Trinity of God, that the Old Testament's God the Father, that then you have God the Son in the Gospels, then you have God the Holy Spirit in the church age. Okay, and there's some truth to that, but doesn't Holy Spirit active in Genesis? Sure he is. And I believe that actually it's safer to say that God presents the Trinity from day one. And I don't want to minimize that, you know, even accidentally or an inference that somehow in the Old Testament it's only about God the Father. No, God the Son was active. God the Holy Spirit was active. And we see that here again. Mary didn't birth the divinity of God. God has always existed. All right, and Elizabeth's humbled again that the mother of her Lord would visit her. Again, we see humility. Fourth, we find the babe leaped for joy. Now, I've already asked you about you guys, the moms, the babies moving and stuff. But again, I want to underscore what I mentioned earlier, that I don't think this was a random movement, because the Bible says the baby leaped for a specific reason. The baby leaped for joy. The baby was happy. That answers the questions, can babies in the womb have emotion? Now, I do not mean to be provocative here. It's not my intent, but I'm going to say it. How do you think a baby feels when its arms and legs are torn off in the womb? I'm sorry, it's barbaric. And history is going to look back on this part of world history, and as Americans, as the country that is supposed to be the lighthouse of the world and the home of the free and the brave, that we are allowing innocent children in the womb because they're not wanted or whatever to be destroyed is unconscionable. And by the way, there's a lot of innocent women that get fooled. And I don't want to... Please, if you're watching online and you're a mom that's had an abortion, God still loves you and there's forgiveness and healing. And I can assure you, and I'd love to talk to you about it, that when babies pass, even in the womb from the moment of conception, they go to heaven. Moms that have miscarriages, babies in heaven. And so don't worry, you'll be reunited with that child. But don't let that hurt and that guilt keep you from the one that can finally heal that guilt and hurt. So I want to predicate both of those things, and I think as Christians we ought to be passionate about both, which is why I don't want to be one of those churches that just only preaches against abortion but never lifts a dollar or a finger to make a difference. And our church is heavily involved in our local crisis pregnancy center, and I plan and praise God I believe that we will continue to do so. But at any rate, the baby moved for a specific purpose. And I think it's also interesting, Elizabeth seemed to know what that feeling was. Fifthly, the Bible goes on and says, and she goes on and says, verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so, next, blessed is she that believed. Again, the foundational reason that Mary is such a hero of the faith is her faith. Mary believed. And Elizabeth looks at her and pronounces on her, I recognize that you believe. Even as Sister Martha mentioned, maybe the whole reason she was there is to be a servant. And understanding that if the angel said that the 60-something-year-old lady was pregnant, Mary didn't say, well, I'm not really sure about that. She said, I'm going to get me there and help her out and act upon that which God has told me is true, even if I don't think it could be true. That's faith. You believe what God has to say. And Mary is a person of great blessing because she acted in faith. And as the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. You want to be blessed? Act in faith. Don't just say, I believe, but act in faith. Lastly, and we've done tonight, notice she says, and there shall be a performance of those things. The Holy Spirit, through Elizabeth, encourages Mary to believe all the things that Gabriel said. All the things that God said to you about that baby that's in there, they're going to come to pass. I'm sure Mary, playing through all the things Gabriel said, you know, the Messiah, and what are the ramifications of giving birth to the Messiah? When would he take the throne? What does this mean for me? What does it mean for the family? Can you imagine the questions that were running through her head? And all I know is that this senior godly lady, Elizabeth, looks at this younger mom who must have been going through a very fearful time. She didn't have a Zacharias. And yet she says, Mary, don't worry, it's all the things God said is going to come to pass. You know, God's told you and I a lot of things too, hasn't he? You know, and I thought we sit there and we say, oh, Mary, you know, this, that, and the other, and she's great, and she is a godly because of faith. Well, how can we be like Mary? Well, I think we have the finished word of God that she did not have. And do we believe what God has said? And I thought, I wrote in my notes, what are some things that God has said are going to come to pass? Anybody tonight, give me any, this is not just parenting things, but tell me something in the Bible that God said is going to come to pass. Something in the future that God says is going to happen. Anybody? Pardon me? There's going to be a great apostasy of the church, which we're already seeing develop. Anybody else? What else does God say is going to happen? All right, there's probably, there is a one world government coming. All right, anybody else? All right, but ultimately Jesus is coming again, right? Trump is going to sound and he's coming. Anybody else? What has he said about you and me? All right, we're going to get a glorified body. It's, you know, at the return of Christ. If he doesn't come, we're all going to die, aren't we? You know, we're mortal. There's all kinds of things we could talk. I could spend hours saying, what are the things the Bible has to say that we know we can look forward to? The question is, are we like Mary that acts in faith? That when God says something, this isn't in my notes even, all right, this one's free. When God says it's blessed, more blessed to give than receive, or when God teaches in the area of financially giving and sowing and reaping financially, and God says it's when you give out of your need and you give financially out of, you know, sacrificially, that you're not giving void. Do we believe that? Well, the question comes, do we act on it? You know, and there's a lot of things. Maybe here's another one that's really difficult. God says, like I preached Sunday, forgive that person that's done wrong to you. Again, it doesn't mean there's not consequences. Doesn't mean there's not ramifications. But you forgive, and there's blessing in offering that forgiveness. I don't feel like doing that. It don't make sense to me. But by faith, we do it. And it'll set you free. Lastly, in my close tonight, I want to close with coming back to my title. We have talked a lot tonight about prenatal ministry, but I really want to bring this, all wrap this into one final thought that the first time I listened, or actually it might have been the second time on this one, because I don't think I caught it the first time, that I went through Life of Messiah, where I thought about this truth and, you know, the old boof, my mind kind of got blown a little bit. That's a Tommy Trucks boof, boof. When we know the life of John Baptist that would be, and we're going to study this in the weeks to come, and even as somebody graduated from Bible college and did some seminary work, there's a lot of debate and misunderstanding about the baptism of John Baptist. Why did he baptize and all kinds of things? What we're going to learn in Life of Messiah is exactly what God says Old Testament about John Baptist, that he would be the forerunner of Messiah to pave the way, that John Baptist's ministry is going to be to point people to Jesus Christ, to point them to the Messiah. Getting baptized to John, boy, I'm going to get in trouble here, aren't I? Was not primarily about baptism of repentance of sins in the sense of making yourself right with God. Getting baptized with John was a mark of preparing your heart that when John would be used of God to point to the Messiah, that you would turn to him for the payment of those sins. Do you follow me? John's job was to point people to Jesus. And as we're going to find in the Life of Messiah, anybody that you find in the Gospels that's ever recorded receiving the message of John also receives the message of Jesus. Every time. Even into the book of Acts. So, with that in mind, John Baptist's job was to point people to the Messiah. And even here, when Mary enters, John leaps for joy, as we've discovered, is a movement with purpose. Elizabeth goes, this is something different going on here. What's going on here? And then the Bible says that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what does Elizabeth do? She points out the Messiah. So you could make the argument that John Baptist had a prenatal ministry, that he pointed his own mother to the Messiah. Pow. Pretty cool, huh? Now, I don't know if any of us, any of you moms had any children that were that amazing, that had that kind of prenatal ministry. But I would say that all of them had some kind of ministry. You know, we could debate what kind of ministry that was at 3 in the morning when you ladies are in the bathroom, but that's another type of ministry. But here we find babies in the womb can have ministry. Now, I mean, that's a little bold, but I will tell you this, because I wrestled with saying that statement. But I thought to myself, how can a baby in the womb have a ministry? I think that baby can have a ministry to the mom and what it does to you moms. I'm amazed sometimes when I've known someone for a long time, a lady, and she gives birth to her first child. There's just something about that. I will tell you, to me personally, anytime one of our ladies or somebody in my family is expecting, every single time I see them, it's a blessing. And that baby has a ministry. So you expecting moms, bring your babies, even if they're in the womb, even if you have to get up in the middle of service and go to the bathroom because, you know, or even if, you know, if I'm preaching along and you go, ouch, and I'm just going to think you're saying, praise God, amen, you're blessing me, you know, that baby kicks you, you know. And that's why I don't mind when people bring their babies in here. There's nothing better to me than hearing a squawking baby, you know. It's great. Prenatal ministry. All right. Enjoy that tonight. Interesting stuff. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. We'll pick it up from there next week. Thank you for watching tonight, for tuning in. God bless you. We're going to close in prayer and be dismissed. Lord, thank you for the teaching of your word tonight.